This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Welcome, this is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast show with Alice and Andrea. Our community is made up of so many amazing and diverse groups of people, as are the programs on Joy 94.9. There is something for everyone. A Little Pot of Joy is where we highlight just some of these amazing programs. We would like to show our respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, of elders past and present of the Kulin Nation, whose land we are broadcasting from. We're opening the evening with a podcast from Hide and Seek. Don't be a douche.
Dean and Tim chat to Stephen Spencer about the art of douching and how you can avoid those nasty surprises when you're in the heat of the moment, including some handy tips to ensure you're prepared for when certain opportunities arise.
You can listen to the entire podcast by downloading it from the Joy website, joy.org.au/hide-and-seek, or download it for free from the iTunes store.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
You are with Dean Beck and Tim Little on Hide and Seek tonight. We're discussing douching.
And we have Steve Spencer.
Welcome.
And you've brought someone along with you.
Brought my friend OJ. Hey, OJ.
Hello.
So let's just set the scene here. So, Steve, you're representing the bottom.
Yes, although I do dabble for both. I know, shock horror to some people. Bottom tonight, you know.
Okay, you're bottom in the studio. Yes. We're doing some role play here. And OJ's the top tonight.
Yes.
So set the scene here. You've got a nice hot date ready. OJ's waiting in the wings. How do you prepare?
Oh,
what
well,
are some tips?
I've certainly got some tips. Now, I sort of take two routes, mind the pun, when it comes to douching. Either you're ready for said hot date, like you've got 3 days or so to prepare, so there are certain things you can do, or you've got sort of the last minute grinder hookup, which I wouldn't meet OJ on, of course. No, we're fine. Fine young gentlemen.
So you've got your phone numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Fine. So then there's also the quick fix. So you can sort of do a last minute quickie. If you've got time to spare, there are certain things you can do.
Let's say this has been building up for the last week. You're very excited. How does it go?
Well, say on the weekend we're meeting, OJ. Do you prefer Saturdays or Sundays?
Let's go for a Sunday, a little Sunday session.
Sunday, yeah. When you're hungover, that's when the best sex happens. Wednesday, you'd start with your Metamucil. I say that a fiber supplement is the greatest equalizer. No matter what you eat or drink or whatever, Metamucil will turn all that fun stuff inside you into something clean and easy to get rid of. So
one per day?
Three times per day.
Three times a day?
I think that's the normal one. One with each meal.
It's like one and a half teaspoons, like 1 to 3 times a day.
Yeah. So in my case, I do about 10 a day. No, keep it healthy. Yes, about 3 a day.
About 3?
Yes. So fibre makes the process of douching down the track just 10 times easier and quicker, because the quicker the douche, the better and healthier it is.
And are there certain types of foods that that you incorporate into that?
Well, the thing with Metamucil, it's sort of a cheat way in that it allows you to eat almost anything you want and drink almost anything you want and keep everything fairly regular and expected. Things that you want to avoid in general before sex are alcohol and coffee. Anything that will turn everything into a bit of a slippery slide are things that you want to avoid.
I'm having flashbacks.
Having flashbacks of a certain...
I had 3 coffees on Saturday.
Metamucil is really psyllium husks.
Yes, so psyllium husk, any fiber supplement.
And the point with that is you've got to have enough water, because without it you can get the reverse effect.
Yes, definitely. So you definitely have to use it as described. There's no reason to use too much or too little. Just use it as...
But plenty of liquid.
Plenty of liquid, definitely. And also the other thing with this is a lot of people don't eat or will modify their diets dangerously. So rather than saying, you know, don't drink alcohol or don't drink coffee, I say, yes, don't do those things, but make sure you eat full meals. Make sure you drink lots of water beforehand, especially immediately before the sex or the day leading up to the sex, because you don't want to have sex on an empty stomach, especially if you're going to be drinking or have your Amyl or whatever. That's when, you know, your body will just seize up it and really won't receive it well. So you want to eat healthily.
So in this article, you speak about Amyl and you said that it can actually relax you while you're flushing those things out?
Absolutely. So explain the fibre supplement and the lead up. So when you actually get to it, you take a shit first, okay? Just do it. No matter where you are, no matter who you're with, just have a good dump.
Yeah, please do it in a bathroom.
So in the process, it's amyl on the toilet is amazing because amyl is a relaxant.
Not that we endorse the use of any sort of inhalants.
No.
No.
Absolutely not. And please talk to your doctor whether or not your body is appropriate for these sorts of things. If you have blood pressure conditions or if you already have substances in your system, it's a bad idea. But for me personally...
We're certainly not going to recommend any illegal drugs on this show or this station.
No.
No. And I personally, speaking personally, anything that sort of relaxes you...
is of great assistance.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm. Right.
Yes, so that's the pre. And then a cheeky bottle of Mount Franklin. Go in the shower, a couple of squirts, and you're good.
What do you mean by that?
Well... You know, I hear so many guys with their hoses, their fancy setups, the big systems, you know, guys who build a special shower and a special room particularly for these things. But really, if your sex is whether it's spontaneous or planned, a water bottle delivers the perfect amount of water, which is as little as possible, at the perfect depth. Whereas I know people who'll shove a hose up a foot deep and just flush the whole system out. And what you don't want to do is... risk any damage to the sensitive tissue inside that area. And also what you especially don't want to do is force water too deep up there, because otherwise you get the situation from Dante's Peak where, you know, you have a full dam and it eventually bursts and you flood the poor townspeople, and you don't want to do that.
See, my concern with the Mount Franklin bottle is cutting on the top of the lid.
There are other things, like the tomato sauce bottle is popular because it's quite a thin... conical shape with no sharp edges.
Right.
There are others of us who might need a wider opening, like a Gatorade bottle, but, you know, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of just the concept of a bottle, or a douche nozzle as well also works.
So are there certain shapes that you would go for with a proper douche, I'm talking?
With a proper douche bottle.
Not a Mount Franklin bottle.
Well, yes, if you're lucky enough to have one with you, as I said, spontaneous sex or whatever is, you know, that's the thing about a Mount Franklin water bottle. You can buy them anywhere. So no matter where you are, you can get
one. But in a perfect world, what would be the ideal equipment?
Yes, a douche bottle. It works absolutely perfectly. Again, it delivers the perfect amount of water to the perfect depth.
What about things like a bidet?
A bidet... As in one that shoots water at you?
Yeah.
If you can hold yourself open for long enough...
I don't think that's going to be doing anything, really.
No, it does work. Trust me.
Right, okay. All right. I'll have to take your word on that. Your thoughts on nozzles, hoses and nozzles. Let's talk about that.
Again, like, I'm not a big proponent of the hose. I think they're a bit extreme.
See, I am.
Absolutely.
And I'm totally mains pressure.
And... I'll look at a perfect world, I'd go down to the local hydrant. But no, I know too many people, especially if they're you, I'm not implying anything by this, but you are experienced and you have learned what works best for your body.
Sure, absolutely.
And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters, is what works best for you. But for starters, for people who perhaps their current douching regimen isn't perfect, you know, a bottle really does give you the right amount. If you figure, oh, your body can handle a bit more water or a bit more depth, then that works well. But at the end of the day, the golden rule is shallow and less water. And again,
and comfortable.
Yes. And keep it comfortable.
Yeah.
Because it is very sensitive in there. You don't want to push the water too deep, because then that causes a water buildup deep down, and you'll discover that halfway through. Sorry, OJ, if that happens. Yeah. Have you had any experiences, OJ, with that?
Yes.
Not with me, of course. Not.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so, like, coming from, like, my point of view, like, if I am picking up on the 86 tram, whatever, if shit happens, shit happens. But when you plan something 3 or 4 days ahead, like, there can be some people who will get really anxious about it and go too far. And I would have been, like, probably 3 years ago, someone just, as I said, break a dam on a bed and soak a bed. Like, when that's not your own mattress, it's fine, but when it's your mattress, you're just like, oh,
So
it's a thing, like, get it out beforehand.
Wait, you were cheating on me? No, I'm kidding.
I think, actually, a really important thing Dean taught me, like, many years back was do a little dance in the shower. Like, if you are afraid of having any excess buildup, just have a little dance, move it around.
Absolutely, and changing position.
Yeah, give it time, though. Like, you don't want to douche 20 minutes before someone arrives at your door. Like, you want to give a little bit more time.
And look, the best douche is not a spontaneous douche. Let's be very clear on that.
It's got to be planned.
You're on Joy 94.9, and this is A Little Pot of Joy with Andrea and Alice. From another one of our resting programs, Dystopical, the female orgasm.
Katie and Freena talk with Katie East about the female orgasm. The what, the where and the how. If you can't listen to the show live, download the podcast from the Joy website, www.joy.org.au, or the iTunes store.
You're listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
So this evening we have a rather special show for you. I'm almost embarrassed to be talking
to you. No, she's not almost embarrassed. She's actually really embarrassed, which is part of the reason why we're doing this show.
Basically.
Just so that we can watch Farine blush.
Pretty much. That was.
Oh my God, she's blushing now.
And squirming. Yeah. All these amazing things. All right, so this topical is a debate and a reflection on what matters to queer women in our community. On tonight's show, we're talking about...
We're talking about the female orgasm.
That's right. We're talking about the female orgasm.
Oh, my God. She said it. That's one.
We'll be talking about the history of the orgasm, all that sort of research, the important bits and pieces of your...
the bits and pieces. Yeah, we're talking about the anatomy of the orgasm.
I was going to say the important bits and pieces of your anatomy, what you should get to know if you don't know already, and various other interesting tips, right?
Mm-hmm. We've got Katie's top 10 list, of course.
Okay. As always. Okay. We're talking about the history of orgasms, right? Now.
The orgasm is from the Greek word... Orgasmos, which means Catherine Ann. To swell and be excited.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Give me a moment. The best thing about an orgasm is the fact that we are actually allowed to talk about these things these days. It used to be a really taboo subject, which is where a bit of my research has come from.
Especially the female orgasm.
Very much so. There was this great guy called Kinsey, and in the late 1940s, early 50s, he actually did some research. He bought out two books. And it was the a book about the male and a book about the female. And in his book in the 40s, it was revealed that over 80% of women masturbated and had clitoral orgasms.
That's really not much of a shock.
It's not, but in the 1940s it was.
But they probably had never counted this stuff before.
Well, this is it.
Or had done research on it.
So. Well, this is it. There was a bit of dispute with his research because a lot of the people that volunteered for the research had served or were serving prison sentences. Mm. If I was in prison, I'd be masturbating a hell of a lot more than I would be on the outside.
Saying something.
So there was, you know, there was...
There's also probably different ethics at right now than there used to
definitely.
Be around, like, using, you know, prisoners as subjects of sex
That's right.
research.
Well, there was a lot of debate over whether or not it covered the general population, but he actually did a study, I think it was around about 6,000 people. So, I mean, it was a fair-sized study for...
6,000 women, yeah.
For those, that time. So, and then in the 50s, there was some more research done, and that revealed that women could actually achieve multiple orgasms.
Groundbreaking stuff.
It really was. It was.
Well, look, it's not like individual women haven't known this, you know, over the years, but there is something extremely psychologically comforting about knowing that you're not the only person.
Well, this is true, but then you've got to think about the time. Okay, so the 50s, everyone was quite prudish, like Freen, and you know, these subjects weren't really talked about, and so, you know, women didn't get around like we do and say, hey,
what?
No, not around like we do, like sit around and talk about things like, you know, we do these days. Later on in the 70s, there was this awesome woman. I did a lot of reading on her in the last couple of days. Her name's Cher Height.
Sure.
Yeah. Same thing.
The Height Report.
Tomatoes. The Height Report. Well done. It reported that only 29% of women were able to orgasm through intercourse and 85% were required direct clitoral stimulation in order to orgasm.
Which I think is saying something because it was Freud that said that penetrative orgasms were a myth.
We all know how much I love Freud.
Well, you know, for those of you that don't know this, he only studied his wife, and I think he was actually a bit of an idiot.
I concur so much.
Let's ignore Freud.
Exactly.
And Cher Height reported that only 29% of women were able to orgasm through intercourse, meaning penetration, and 85% of women required direct clitoral stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bizarre to think that this was groundbreaking information.
But this is, again, all stuff that we know from our own experiences.
We do know now, and we do talk
Dolly
about
when we were kids.
And Dear Dolly, I love Dear Dolly. I read into it once. It allowed women, basically with these reports, it allowed women to become aware that not all women were able to orgasm through penetration alone, and it allowed some women to feel that they were within, I guess you could say, the norm, as it was still a taboo subject in the 70s, talking about sex, you know, around the dinner table and stuff like that. the biggest thing about it was it also revealed that the majority of people deemed intercourse or sex to be penetration, and that everybody else, everything else was put into a category of that's foreplay. So we're talking about oral sex, we're talking
digital,
all of that kind of stuff. That's considered foreplay. So, yeah, basically there's sex and then everything else is foreplay. So that's what the study came up with. But I believe
which basically discounted sort of lesbians as having sex.
It did. And, you know, look, we're still discounted to a degree. Like, sex should not be considered as penetration only. How many times have you two been asked by either somebody that's straight or somebody that's curious as to...
Or your own mother.
Or you must use...
in my case.
Not in my instance. But,
what do you actually do? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what do you do? Yeah. Like, obviously, you must use sex toys in order to have sex, because how is it sex if there's no penetration?
Well, I actually have a friend who went to have a pap smear many, many years ago and was told by the doctor that she didn't need to have a pap smear because she was a lesbian and lesbians don't have penetrative sex.
Oh, see, this really annoys me because there is actually a new test that has come out. This is a little bit of health information for you. As everyone knows, I'm a nurse. There is actually now when you go and get a pap smear, you can actually get a DNA test done with your swab as well. It is actually proven that I think it's 2% of women that suffer from HPV actually have inherited it from their parents.
Oh.
And it's not actually an STD exclusively.
That's really interesting. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, I found out the last time I went and see my GP. Anyway, off the subject.
I hate to be boring, but can we just get back to orgasms?
Yeah. We have got to get to your list. We've got time's running out, so let's get to your list.
All right, so here's my list.
What's this list about?
This list is just about sex and bringing someone to an orgasm and stuff like that. Number one, take your lady off the clock. Basically, what it means, I'm just going to break it down really simply. Sometimes it can take women 15 to 40 minutes to be stimulated and then to reach orgasm. So take her off the clock. Make sure that there's no stress on there. Make sure that there's no time limit on there. Make sure that you're able to tell her, we've got as much time as we need to do this, mm-hmm. So let's just take our time. Number two, talent. Talent can be a real turn on. Like the best sex basically starts long before you take your clothes off. Mm-hmm. You go on a really cool date. You make them laugh their ass off. Am I allowed to say ass? Sorry.
Yes,
make them laugh their butt off. Sorry. That can be a really big talent. And, you know, show certain sides of you or things that you're talented at before you actually take your clothes off and then show her your real talents. Speak up about the body. If you're attracted to somebody that you're sleeping with and you're attracted to them naked as well, you need to be able to tell them, because when you give them flattery about how they look naked and how they look, basically, you're going to get better sex. A recent study in the Journal of Sex suggested women who feel embarrassed or ashamed about their bodies have less sexual experience and are less sexually assertive. Want them to be assertive? Give them some complimentary tips.
Nice.
The top should be tender. I like this one. During foreplay, gently brush the tops, bottoms, and sides of the breast. The nipples are actually in some way connected to the clitoris. So be very careful around them, but the outside areas are really hypersensitive. The nipple itself can actually become desensitized. So make sure you work on the outside areas.
Mm. You have to kind of work up to nipples.
Really. You do. Yeah. You can't just start off at the nip. Watch and learn. This is a really big one. I'm not going to say my favorite.
This is my favorite.
I almost said it.
I actually think this is a really important
one. I think it's really important. Let your partner masturbate in front of you. Not only is it a turn on, it's a guide of what she likes and how she likes it. Don't just sit there taking notes on a notepad, but make sure you look, feel, and see what she responds to. This is my most important thing. In our society, women are not encouraged to masturbate. However, by exploring what it is you like, you're able to have a more fulfilling sex life with your partner. Masturbation should be viewed as empowering.
Absolutely. And clitorises aren't the same. Like, some people like direct stimulation, some people like indirect stimulation.
Yep.
It really just depends on the person.
And
knowing what gets them off by seeing what they do can be a really important
whatever
part
worked
of the
on
process.
Your last girlfriend isn't necessarily going to work on your next
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, angles for penetration, if we're talking about penetrative sex. Explore various types of penetration to figure out what turns her on most.
If she likes it.
If she actually likes it. We've talked about where the G-spot is, so I'm not really going to go into that anymore.
We didn't talk about the A-spot, but maybe another time.
Maybe another time. We have an A-spot, everybody. Basically, the A-spot produces lube. Women being able to multitask multitask. Women are meant to be able to concentrate on more than one thing, so make sure that that's also evident in the bedroom. Don't get stuck on missionary sex. Have some fun experimenting. Sense of orgasm. Ease into oral sex. Don't just attack it. First, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but kiss the thighs, you know, broad strokes with your tongue, do circles, yada, yada, yada. But the biggest cues are from the hips because they show the rhythm that the person likes, and gasps and moans as you experiment with techniques. And watch for signs. Yeah, that's it. The stomach muscles can actually show when they're having an orgasm, so make sure you have the hand on the stomach. That's also a really good tip. And if the lights are on, you can see the color of, you can see the increased blood flow in the labia when they're about to come. Coming together, it's an amazing moment to share with someone, so try and time yours with your partner's climax. Don't be afraid to keep going and enjoy the thrill of the multiple. It is real and it does exist.
Just keep going.
And don't forget, if the clitoris is rubbed for a long time, it can become sore or desensitized to respond to manual oral stimulation. Bonus point here, though.
I like the bonus
point. Bonus. A woman's orgasm threshold drops after her first one, so it's really easy to bring her back to climax through penetration after she's already had one if she's into penetration. And that is my top 10, and that is the orgasm show.
Woohoo.
You're on Joy 94.9, and this is Little Pot of Joy. Your hosts this evening, Andrea and Alice. Up next from Critical Hit, Sex in Video Games.
The team are all here to talk about a topic that can be quite controversial when it comes to video games. That's right, of course, sex.
Video games have been causing problems with their depiction of women as early as 1982. But in recent years, there's been a lot of evolution, and we hear about some of the better examples too.
And if you just can't listen to the show live, download the podcast from the Joy website, joy.org.au, or the iTunes store.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Yes, you are here on Critical Hit today. I'm not going to mess around today. Today's show
sex.
Is all about... Kev, I was trying to lead into it. I was doing foreplay.
He just came a bit prematurely. Don't worry about it.
And you
it happens to everyone.
In. You just jumped in. We are talking about sex today, particularly sex in video games, not just generally sex.
You we are a video game show. We should be talking about sex.
You haven't
in
tuned
video
into
games.
The incorrect show. This is the correct show. This is Critical Hit, Joy's Only Video Game Show. We're not going to stuff around today. We're going to get straight into it. So to speak. This is going to be a problem, this show. I can feel it already.
What are you two doing over there?
Getting straight into it.
Oh, naturally.
Children, straight please. Talking about sex in video games and how it can be perceived and some of the video games that got it right and some of the video games that got it very, very wrong. So, I don't even know where to start here. I can start by saying the first video game that had sex in it was actually back in 1981. It was a text-based game called Soft Porn Adventure. Because, you know, adventures.
It's like, it's just erotic fan fiction.
Sorry.
The game.
I actually found that particularly
I
want to
play that. Soft porn adventures.
It sold a lot. It came out, it was in an article in Time magazine as well. And they were going to make one for straight women as well. Very important to make one for straight women as well.
It was
as
such
men.
A big market in video games back then.
Yeah, but it never happened in the end, which is probably a good thing, I think. But I guess, you know, over the last sort of 10 to 15 years or so is when you've really started seeing sex come a bit further when it comes to video games. You know, particularly because nowadays you actually have a choice in some games you choose even who you get to have sex with. So it's not even just about, you know, watching some sex scene and feeling kind of pervy about it. It's actually about sort of partaking or your main character partaking in a decision. So, I mean, I'd be silly not to talk about the more recent one that comes to mind, which is anything from BioWare, basically, in terms of Mass Effect and Dragon Age as well, which features all sorts of sexualities, all sorts of characters, but actually does it in quite a tasteful kind of way.
Agreed. Did they have that function in Knights of the Old Republic?
Don't know about that.
Anyone?
Didn't
anyone
play it?
Don't know. No.
Yeah. Neither.
But I mean, it's handled so well in, I have to say Dragon Age, because I haven't played a lot of the Mass Effect games, but in Dragon Age in particular, even the silly sex scenes, they still have heart to them. They're not, like, completely vulgar and ridiculous. Even when they walk in on the Iron Bull, who's naked, spread out on the bed, it's not done in this horrible sort of way where it's super comedic. Like, it's funny, but it's not, like, taboo,
it's
stupid,
like
funny.
Awkward situation funny.
Yeah.
Like, something that could actually
it's
happen.
Believable.
It's believable.
Yeah, that's why it's great.
And the other characters are like, okay, well, you guys just finish what you're doing and come join us when you're done. All good. It like, they handle it well.
It sets them up as relationships, not purely as a sex thing. Like, there's people have playthrough methods of, like, sleeping with as many people as you can in Mass Effect, but it's actually quite difficult because once you trigger one relationship lock-in, it closes off a lot of
things. Which is the same with Dragon Age, is that you actually have to spend a lot of time...
Courting.
You have to do the. You have to say the right thing. If you say the wrong thing, you're in trouble. You have to do quests for them, that kind of stuff. You have to actually spend
time... If you accidentally murder his friend...
Yeah, then you're totally ruined. And, and that's the thing as well, I think, that I found quite interesting with Dragon Age, was that if you had spent time on certain people, other characters would end up hooking up. Because it was like, well, it's real life. Yeah. They're not going to all wait for you, waiting for the Inquisitor.
That was the first time they've included that, and I really liked that. It was a great touch.
Dorian and Iron Bull just killed me. It was amazing. But yeah, no, I agree. I think Dragon Age did those sex scenes really tastefully. And I think there's so many more options they could have done. Like, you could have just, like, hooked up and just been, like, bed buddies. Like, that's okay, too. And, yeah, I don't know. I think they did it really well. They didn't really objectify anybody. And, when it comes to sex scenes in video games, that's kind of what I find important. Not who they're sleeping with or, you know, the relationship between the people they're sleeping with, but how...
How it's handled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, one that I want to talk about that came up a few times online as well. So, Matthew mentioned this one, as did Scott. And, Arch, you know a bit about this one,
I do.
Too. It is a title called Coming Out on Top.
It's such a great title.
It's PC gay dating simulator,
yeah,
right?
Dating sim.
Okay, I don't know much about it, but I saw a picture of a guy making out with a fish.
It was a Kickstarter. Well, that was a secret ending.
I have concerns.
You could romance your fish.
Yeah, but the game, you got game over if you did that.
Yeah.
Because it meant that you had lost your mind and therefore just couldn't complete the game. So.
Yeah.
I love that. Sorry. That's great.
Yeah, well, it's a good game. I really need to play more of it.
So how's you coming out to your friends right at the start of the game? So, you know, I guess, a lot of people mentioned there's, you know, with dating simulators and stuff like that, that there's not really a game for them when you have, you know, when you're gay or trans and stuff like that. So I think that it's a good way of saying, hey, you know, this game is something that I can play and I actually get to romance guys rather than a game forcing me to romance females.
It's
so,
pretty
I mean,
graphic
in that sense,
also.
But that's okay. I have nothing against having sex in video games. It's how it's tackled. Like, I don't have anything against nudity. I don't care. If it's very graphic sex scenes, like, go nuts. It's
there's
completely
a toilet
fine,
stall
but...
scene. Interesting.
You said tackle and I laughed.
Oh, okay.
So now also, I mean, also another one that comes up a lot when it comes to sex scenes and the media and stuff like that, Grand Theft Auto, right? Now, GTA, it has obviously the big controversy from more recently, which we've known for a long time. Well, now, I'm talking about the idea of picking up hookers and then paying them.
That one.
And then beating them and taking the money back.
Sorry, so many sexual controversies.
But also
GTA.
the hot coffee mod, which is a mini game that you could unlock if you're a modder and you find it in the coding and stuff, that allows you to press buttons to create excitement for the girl that you're having sex with.
Fully clothed.
And it shows you fully clothed, bumping uglies on screen.
It looks hilarious. Have you seen the footage from it?
Ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
But it caused a massive fuss. And, you know, I think Meigs, you know, you mentioned about, you know, sex is okay in video games, but it's about how it's handled and how it's portrayed. And, you know, a game like Dragon Age, you know, it has a lot of sex in it and a lot of sexuality and stuff like that, but it's done in a way that is tasteful and it doesn't cause controversy because it's just the world they've built so well that it doesn't matter.
And they did it super respectfully. And even if they went, like, all out and did really graphic sex scenes, I'd still be A-okay with that because of how it was handled.
But then you have GTA, which is the opposite of that.
Yes.
And that's why it makes the media and gets everyone talking about it in a negative way because it's so gratuitous and stupid, you know? Yeah. It's not the right way to do things. It's not how the real world works. You know what I mean? And it's really wrong in that sense, and it's caused a lot of problems, so...
Yeah, if they just, like, started treating women as, like, humans and not objects, that'd be a good start.
Even Saints Row, which is in the same world as GTA in terms of it's an open world... gang-based shooter, whatever you want to call it. Saints Row tackles sexuality pretty well. Like, you can have sex with whoever you want, and it can be male or female, and it can be... It doesn't matter what relationship it is. And it's handled in a cute sort of way. It mostly happens off-screen, but the build-up to it and the flirtation... is actually the kind of flirtation that you would normally expect in real life. And it kind of works in the game. In a game that's so stupid and ridiculous, and Meigs, you reviewed that for us. And,
yeah.
It is stupid. Yeah.
It is. It's totally stupid and it's totally satirical, and that's why it works.
Yeah, especially for... It was designed as a satire of particularly the romance sequences of BioWare games.
Yeah.
The idea that you can romance everyone's a bit odd because
it's awesome, but you're sure.
Yeah, it doesn't reflect the individual character's sexuality. Like, everyone's pan or bisexual, that's just not realistic.
True.
But it's a satire, so it's fine. And they handled it well still. It wasn't, there was agency of the characters. They didn't, there wasn't like refusal or rape or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It just kept it clean.
But that's how, like, we're sort of BioWare with Dragon Age. They had a bevy of different characters, and you had straight, gay, bisexual, only dates their own race, only, you know, pansexual, all of that kind of stuff. There was these completely different characters, and they basically were like, well, they exist in the real world, so therefore they exist in the game.
One more quick question, guys. I want to go around the room really quick before we finish
quick,
up.
Quick.
Just the answer and the quick reason as to why you think that. Does sex have a place in video games?
Yes,
Archer,
definitely. Why? Because it happens in life, why can't it happen in video games? I mean, that you shouldn't really apply that to everything, because there's definitely a lot of harmful things that happen in the real world that you shouldn't try and bring across into every medium. But yeah, sex is not harmful. It's something that happens with majority of people, and we should celebrate it.
Cool. Meigs?
Yeah, I agree with Archer. It's something that happens in life, and we need to have positive representation of that in our media, and therefore that'll translate into life and make things better. So that's, yeah.
Cool. Finn?
Absolutely, but like it being included in films, it should be thought about really hard. Before it's included, because it's important that it's done correctly.
Yep. Kev?
Yeah, I think basically the same as Finn is that, you know, it needs to be done, and it needs to be there for a particular reason, and it needs to not be used as a plot point.
Yeah. And, you know, like any game mechanic, you know, if they just throw it in there just to have it, it shouldn't be in the game. And it's not just about sex scenes. It's anything that really is just thrown in for no reason. You know, you sort of wonder, why is this even there? It didn't need to be there. It's not part of the story. There's no reason for this to change. There's no reason to have a quick time event where I'm pushing buttons to penetrate someone.
There's really no reason to have a quick time event.
So, I mean, ultimately, yeah, if it's done properly and it's worked in a proper way, it should totally be there. But, I mean, if it's just there for the sake of it, like any game mechanic, it really shouldn't be there at all. And people shouldn't do it just to be controversial.
Agreed.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is A Little Pot of Joy with Andrea and Alice. Up next from one of our resting programs, The Wet Spot, let's get fisting.
Jill is in the studio with Sammy to talk about the exciting topic of vaginal fisting.
The two talk safety, technique, and the importance of communication, cutting your fingernails, lube, and having fun. Plus, Jill talks self-fisting.
You can listen to the entire podcast by downloading it from the Joy website, joy.org.au/thewetspot, or download it for free from the iTunes store.
You're listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Now, I have a very special guest in the studio with me tonight. Many of the women out there in the kink and fetish community know this woman by name and stand at her feet in awe. Jilf, welcome to Joy.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Now, we have a very, very exciting subject to cover this evening. For the first time on Joy 94.9, we are going to cover the very exciting and very delicious subject of vaginal fisting, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
I know. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Now, when a lot of people sort of think about vaginal fisting, you know, to me, I look at it as being, in a way, a taboo subject through a lot of the, particularly the vanilla queer women's community. So it's about us sort of breaking down a little bit of the barriers about the information, the do's, the don'ts, and a lot of the safety concerns that you actually have a look at in the process.
You're trying to make it more accessible. Yeah, try to break it down a little bit more and try to get women to relax and enjoy it, basically.
And I suppose part of that is, you know, this is actually an exceptionally enjoyable pastime that a lot of women through time and history, as we jump up and down and bounce,
it's awesome.
Yeah. You know, it is something that, you know, can be extremely special to share with people. And it's, you know, it's something that once you have the understanding and, you know, the technique and everything behind it, it is one of those things that you carry in your memory as a very special type of play, really.
Yeah, don't be afraid of it. Try and not be afraid of it. And also, like, it can go on both levels. It can be just for fun, you know, or you can share a deeper connection with your partner through that, I think.
And I suppose a lot of women actually look at this, and some women will actually take it as a type of play that they actually will only share with a particular partner. It might be someone that they is a long-term partner, someone that they are fluid bonded
bonded with, or there are some women that, you know, particularly enjoy it as a group
activity.
Oh, a game everybody can play, vagina.
Oh,
fister.
Yeah, you can do it in a circle.
Twister yeah. with a vagina.
We're going to have a fisting circle. Yeah.
Oh, it's like a drumming circle, but way cooler.
With fisting, yes.
Hooray.
Yes.
And you don't even have to wait for a full moon.
No, you don't.
Now, we are having a lot of fun here in the studio, and it is a very, very serious subject, but it is all about being able to break down the barriers with this. And I suppose let's have a little bit of a start with some of the sort of the safety things as you're starting to set up.
So much communication first, so much. And don't forget to have fun. Don't forget to cut your nails. Please cut your nails and file down the corners. Mm-hmm. All the lesbians in the room are going, yes, please file your nails. And make sure they're nice and clean. So if you're not going to use gloves. And you can get sexy with gloves.
Oh my God, you can get sexy.
Mm. You don't have to wear just the clear, yucky, shitty ones. You can go down and get black gloves and they look amazing, all covered in lube and lady juices.
Lady juices. Whole other place.
Yeah, okay. So you can be sexy with it. It doesn't have to be generic.
But to be able to sort of, you know, say to women that, you know, I was talking to a lot of women about planning this show, and a lot of women have actually said to me that they've tried it and there seemed to be this huge big hurdle between three and four fingers, because four fingers was like almost felt like it was there and you could feel the knuckles of the hand up against the outside of the vagina, and they sort of, to them, you know, it felt like that was their mental block. And it's something that I've heard from a few different women that have attempted fisting in the past.
Oh, because
the
it
difference
is.
Between the third finger and the fourth
is
finger
huge.
Is a huge difference. Mm. And normally the fourth finger is your little finger. So it's for some women.
But if you look at your hand,
exactly.
It's actually the whole side of your hand. It's not just the little finger. And also it can be a mind thing as well, because as you go up. But that is the hardest. The hardest, again, lube. Yes. You can never have too much lube. You know, and the thing is that you can start off, and once you get it past of like little pitches.
Radio is not a visual medium.
You can get it. So if you come up to your four fingers and then just let it sit there. So get your hand there, let it sit there, move it around a little bit so it stretches and stretches and stretches. And if it takes time sitting there, that's okay. Mm. That's okay. So what I do is I usually do the one, two, and the three. And then when we get up to that fourth one is almost just rest it there, and then you can talk, and then you can get busy because she has a clitoris as well.
Oh yeah, hello.
You know,
yeah.
To make everything else sort of slide along a little bit easier, so you can always put that in your mouth and just let it sit there so it stretches out, because it's got to do all the stretching. So I'll usually sit there, I'll let that sit for 20, sometimes a couple minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, and then a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. It's a long process. Totally worth it.
Every second. The other thing that I've had, you know, some women, of course, and again, this is a great myth that a lot of women that have never had anything to do with fisting, and they've almost like heard these lesbian ghost stories around a campfire on some camping
everybody's
trip,
got one.
Wiccan weekend away or something. And, you know, they go, oh, fisting, that's where you just shove the whole fist in. It's like, no.
No.
There's actually an art to it of being able to have your hand in a certain position to be able to do it. You don't just go to put the fingers in, then all of a sudden turn it into a fist and shove the whole lot in.
No, you don't. Oh, some of us.
Well,
seasoned.
Yes.
Seasoned.
But to start off with.
Some of us are very seasoned.
Yes.
No, it definitely does not start off like that.
Of course, we both know what our favourite word for vagina is, but what's your other, is it lady garden, lady cave?
Lady parts, lady garden, lady cave. I'm a fan of pussy.
Yeah, well, you know,
yeah,
hello.
Yeah.
But
pussy. Oh. Pussy's a good word, yeah.
Goes with moist really well.
Oh, no. Moist pussy.
See, I'm being really dangerous. I'm poking your sweaters.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
Oops.
Moving on. As I shuffle out of the studio.
Back away.
Oh, I'm all excited when she says that. Now, the thing is, I suppose, again, you know, as you said, you know, you can always change, you can stop, you can change position. But again, it's not about the end goal. Yes, it is great to be able to say to your new partner and have that discussion and that we want to try this. But, you know, enjoy the three fingers, the four fingers, the journey, the huge amounts of lube, the tarp covered by 17 towels because of all of the lube and the softness that you need on top of the tarp. Ooh,
So many tarps.
And all of the fun stuff that you can actually have in the process. And it's not just about, I am going to get my fist inside your vagina. As you said, you know, put your mouth on her pussy.
Get super comfortable with the vagina. Mm. Super, super comfortable. Don't be afraid of it. Unless it's a scary one.
Because some of them are.
No, don't be afraid of it. Yeah, get down and get personal with it and have a little chat to it.
Absolutely. So, it's just ultimate fun.
But do make it fun. Mm. It's supposed to be fun. So try and make it fun. And the more fun you make it, the more looser it's going to get.
Yes, yes.
So there's no nice way to say that.
Because as we said, you know, like your brain is connected to your vagina.
And if
you're stressed out or you're upset, have a laugh and have a bit of fun because, you know, like laughter is almost as good as an orgasm. If you're having fun with your partner and you're connecting with them, it is going to make things a hell of a lot easier.
Because you're exploring parts of your vagina you may not have seen before.
Well, that's right.
And it's going to make noises it may not have made before.
Yeah, don't be scared of the squelch.
Don't be scared that sometimes...
Vagina's fart.
A little bit of air goes in with the fist and it's going to come out somewhere.
Yeah, vaginas do fart.
And it's funny. It's supposed to be funny. Yeah.
They're called fanny farts.
Queefs. No, queefs. Somebody told me it's a queef.
It is. It's a queef.
Oh, hold on. Just be aware of it. Like, get really, really friendly with it. This is not something, unless you've been doing it a long time and you can find your way in the dark. This is not something you want to do in the dark. Get some light onto the pussy.
We have to be out of here in under 2 minutes, so I'm going to throw a really curly one at you. Self-fisting.
Oh, I can do that. I said that out loud. that's a thing.
For women to be able to want to be able to, is this for, because a lot of women, you know, they talk about masturbation and everything. And,
it's,
you know,
good for masturbation.
Part of being able to practice, if you've got a partner that you've had that discussion with about you want to be fisted, is practicing on yourself in a way, I suppose, sort of like trying to stretch your own vagina. Ooh, I suppose, does it depend how flexible you are? Can you dislocate your shoulder and click your jaw at the same time? And
the thing that you have to... There's a way to do it. Mm. I was shown how to self-fist, basically. So I could maybe have that as a bonus round on Saturday. But you can
donate to your favourite charity and learn how to self-fist.
Self-fisting is amazing.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can do it. Just get super comfortable with yourself and get in there.
Oh, wonderful.
Lube.
So, of course, big message that we want to get across today about this is can't have too much lube.
And have fun. Have fun. Chillax. It's supposed to be fun. Mm. It's supposed to have some fun with it. And it's not about getting the fist in there. Enjoy the process.
Because, of course, every single extra finger is an extra finger of fun.
Yes, you said it.
You've been listening to A Little Pot of Joy with Alice and Andrea. You can find more of the complete podcasts on the Joy website, www.joy.org.au, or download them from the iTunes Store.
You've been listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program. See joy.org.au and click on our podcast link to subscribe to your favourite podcasts free.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.